I know when we put the bulletin together this week, I was not positive on what passage I was going to be in. I'd studied this one for a while now, but I wasn't sure that that would be the passage. So if I don't know for a positive, I just have Melissa just put message by pastor or something like that. I'm not sure what she puts in there. I don't read the bulletins, as you can tell. I generally am missing them. But when we listened to the music that Steph had God laid on her heart, then we go to this passage. They go so tightly together. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 103. Praises for the Lord's Mercies is the title that I have. This is from David. And it's really just, it's that reminder we are to remember the benefits of the Lord. One of the commentaries said the primary theme is the spiritual restoration that comes only through forgiveness, grace, and mercy. We know that. We know that. But too many times, and like I said just a minute ago, when we take praises on Sunday night and it gets quiet and we've only had like two or three, we always want to think of the major things. You know, a baby being born, you know, a health issue. You know, we always want to think of those things. And I was really convicted because this morning, during my prayer time before the morning service, God placed a song on my heart that I had not heard in, I don't even know how long. It's entitled "For Those Tears I Died." Remember that song? And I'm tucked away praying, and the words to that song just came to me, and I could hear it in my head as plain as day, that song. And I don't thank Him for that enough, for everything that He's done for me. I look at the big things. I think of the big things, and I think that we all do. But to stop and think of the little everyday things that we need to praise Him for. David starts out here in verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Man, we could go forever on one verse right there. So many times I think I'm guilty of just when I take the word Lord, because you've heard me say, you know, people want to take Savior and not Lord, and Jesus has to be our personal Lord and Savior. And so sometimes when we hear that word, that's where my mind goes. That's where my focus goes to, is on the fact that He is my personal Lord. He's the Lord of my life. But here David is saying, bless the Lord. And he's not talking my personal Lord. He's talking, He's the Lord of lords, whether you like it or not. That's who He's blessing. It's, yes, He is our personal Lord, but that understanding of He's my personal Lord because I've surrendered my heart to Him, but whether I did that or not, He's still Lord. And the world does not accept that. And too many times I think we should personalize it, because our God is a personal God, but when it comes to the fact that He is Lord, and nothing can ever change that. No matter what anybody thinks, no matter what anybody doesn't think, that will never change the fact that He is Lord of lords and King of kings. David starts out saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." A lot of the commentaries break that word bless to praise and thanksgiving with all that is within me. I know I'm guilty that when I praise God, it's not with everything that's within me. When I thank Him, it's not with everything that's within me. It's that part of me that's thankful right then. It's that part of me that's brought that to my, that has come to my memory for whatever the situation that I'm thanking Him for. But to stop and to bless Him, to praise Him and to thank Him with everything that is within me. Can you sit still and do that? Can you sit quietly and do that? It might be possible. But if everything that is within me is going to truly praise God, it's going to be hard for me to sit on my hands. It's going to be hard for me to keep my mouth shut. If everything that is within us would praise the Lord, then people would notice. They would notice, if nothing else, by the smile on our face. If nothing else, by just the twinkle in our eyes, whatever you want to call it. They would see a difference when you put your mind, or I put my mind, focusing 100% on praising the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, knowing that He loves me. And I stop and I praise Him and I thank Him from the bottom of my heart. How in the world is that not going to make a difference in my appearance? Even if I'm sitting on my hands, even if I'm biting my tongue, even if I'm not trying to shake my head or stand up or jump or whatever. When we praise and bless the Lord with everything, it should change us. And when it changes us, others will see. David here is at this point, and actually 103 and 104 kind of go together, but when he says to bless the Lord of my soul, he goes on in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Two times in two verses. Anytime something is repeated in the Bible, it's for emphasis. But here, I don't know that it's so much for emphasis as it is just for the fact that David's heart couldn't hold it. Just like, I just got to say it again. Bless His holy name is one thing. But then it becomes more personal because He's saying it and giving us information. And forget not all His benefits. I think He's telling Himself that. But I think that's what we're supposed to hear as well. Because we forget His benefits. What are those benefits? It lists about five of them. And we're going to go through those. But why would David have to remind himself, or why would he have to remind people that are praising God, people that are thanking God, people that are giving blessings back to God, why would he have to remind us what to be blessing Him for? These things that he's going to list, he's going to list five of them here, and they are things that I don't think we should ever forget. But yet David is saying, don't forget these blessings, these benefits of God. Don't forget them. And so that kind of tells me that maybe at some point in his life, he has forgotten them. Because if he had never forgotten these things, then he would just assume no other follower of God, no other worshiper of God would forget them either. So to say, forget not all His benefits, is an understanding that many times we do. He starts off, he says, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities. The forgiveness of sin. How could you and I ever forget what God has done in forgiving our sins? Now, when somebody brings it to our mind, we're going to realize it. We're going to think about it. But do we go through a day that we don't stop and say, God, thank you for forgiving my sins? Or is it just that assumption, because I prayed, because I am trying to follow his word, that he just knows I'm thankful for him forgiving all my sin, all my iniquities? Now, in the Old Testament, the word iniquities actually doesn't line up most times with the word sin. Iniquities is, sin is that missing the mark, missing the bullseye. When I throw a dart, I miss where I aimed at. We all make mistakes. We all sin and miss the mark that God has for us. But iniquities are those choices when we choose to go against God. A twisted, evil choice, basically, is what that word really means. And God forgives us those, all of them. And we're supposed to not forget that. How could we forget that? How could we go a day without saying, God, forgive me when I've turned my back on you? Because we all have. The next one, who heals all our diseases. Now, there are scholars that want to say this is referring back to a time in Deuteronomy when there was a healing of a certain time, and that's what they're talking about. That's what it's referring to. And David is referring to this time when God had healed somebody. But I think I don't think it's that specific in studying it. I think it's more of the understanding is he is the ultimate healer. I don't think it's because not all of our diseases are healed the way we want them to be. He is the ultimate healer, and ultimately sometimes diseases take lives on this earth. And so people can say, well, you know, it says he heals all your diseases. Well, in his will, in his way, he does. But I think it's more talking about the fact that acknowledging that the Lord is the ultimate healer of everything. All of our diseases, and diseases can be that illness type of thing, but then sin is also a disease. It's a sickness. We forget that God is desiring to heal. Because too many times, and we kind of talked about this in men's Bible study tonight, that my will is that God would heal in this way. And if I pray and he doesn't, then does that mean that I'm not praying according to the will? Or if he chooses to answer in a different way, is that going to affect my, do I not have enough faith? What does that mean type of deal? But we just have to be thankful and bless him that he is the ultimate healer. And it's not up to me. It's not up to my way. It's not up to my desire. And just because I don't see him heal in a certain situation, in a certain way, does not in any way take away from him the fact that he is the ultimate healer in life. We don't think of that. And when we don't think of that, we obviously don't bless him for it. We don't praise his name because he's the ultimate healer, because we've seen times in our lives when he didn't heal. And so we don't think of that. But David says here, don't forget that he forgives and he heals. And he goes on, it says, who redeems your life from destruction. He's the deliverer from destruction. He's deliverer from death. He is the redeemer from hell, We know that. We're not going to forget that. Man, how could we ever forget that? We don't. But I think that term, from destruction, again, some scholars want to take that and say that's talking about from hell. That's talking about the end of your life. He is the Redeemer. And anytime we see Redeemer, we think of redeeming us from our deserving hell and to giving us life, Him being our Redeemer. But I think it also talks about He is the Redeemer from the pits of this life. I heard one time in a sermon where this gentleman said, I think when we get to heaven and we see or we understand, we know how much more God took care of us than we realized. Those angels that are unaware, those protections, those times that God fought for us when we didn't realize it. God protected us when we didn't realize it. He redeemed us from destruction eternally, but He redeems us daily when we trust Him, when we give Him our life daily. And we're not to forget that. It goes on, it says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Loving kindness is not just kindness, not just super kindness. Loving kindness is an understanding that comes only from God. It's that loving kindness that comes from the throne of God that can't be outdone. He, like a crown, bestows that on us, along with those tender mercies that we do not deserve. Grace is when He gives us something that we don't deserve, and mercy is when we don't get what we do deserve. And He comes in and tenderly takes us and doesn't give us what we deserve because He loves us so much. He bestows that on us. We'll never deserve it. We can never be deserving of His love. We can never be deserving of His tender mercies. But He bestows that on us. We can't forget that. The love and the mercy of God. How could any Christian ever forget that? How could David forget that? How could we forget that? But yet He tells us, forget not. Don't forget this. He goes on in 5. He says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He gives us what we need to sustain life. Now this can be taken two ways. It's God supplies what we need according to His riches in glory. He gives us what will sustain our life. Physically as well as spiritually. He is there to be that strength that we need spiritually. It ties in here when He satisfies your mouth, He sustains you with the things you need, the good things that you need, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. And it ties it into Isaiah 40:31. You know that passage, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is tied to that. And so He says, just like your youth is being renewed. Now you and I, as we get older, our physical body is not renewed. They can do any kind of surgery they want, and they may fix some of the things. But it's talking about when we give our life to Him, He's going to give us what we need to sustain us with the good things, sustain life. But He's also going to give us those good things that we need to renew our inner spirit renew our spirit like eagles. Eagles had they basically have a long life and they are very strong. And so the understanding is that God will give you, renew you on the inside to give you strength and fulfill his long purpose. Verse 6 says, "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all of the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel." It goes from David saying, "Bless the Lord," as a personal thing, to now he's saying that God is that just God. We don't forget these five things, but now understand that along with those five things, God is just. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The understanding is that one day, justice is going to come for everybody. Sometimes in our life, we've been reading a lot in the Old Testament where people would say, "Well, why does God allow this person's sin to, why does he allow them to continue to live in sin and it seems like there's no punishment?" I think this verse is referring to that when it says the Lord executes righteousness and justice. God is just and he's going to show that one day. There's going to come a time when that's going to happen. But he ties that in with he made known to Moses his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. God led them through, even though they did not deserve it. They were a stiff-necked people, the Bible tells us. They would turn their back on God. He would do something, and within 3 days, he leads them through the Red Sea, and within 3 days, they're complaining about not having food, not having water. They had just seen God split the sea. They walked through on dry ground, and in 3 days, they were complaining. They were a stiff-necked people that it was about them. But God shows all of these things, how he made known his ways, how he showed his acts to the children of Israel. He does that to show he is just. Goes on in 8. Says the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. So these verses here, as he's talking about God being righteous and just, merciful and gracious, that follows up all of those five things where he forgives, he heals, he redeems, he crowns with loving kindness and he sustains life. That's what he did for the children of Israel. That's what he showed to Moses, his ways. But even though he is those things, righteous and just and merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, he will not always strive with us. So there will come a time that he's going to set judgment, I guess is the best way that I understand it. He is saying, he is giving, he's striving, he's being with them in a way that he's showing them mercy when they don't deserve it. He's being gracious when they don't deserve it. And the way he showed that to them was because of people in the Old Testament. They had a faith in God. That's how they lived. But we have a faith in the Messiah. And so their faithful heart in the Old Testament was what got them the mercy and the grace that God bestowed on them. And for us, it's that faith in Jesus Christ. And so the fact that he would overlook their stiff-neckedness and our stubbornness, stupidity, sin, iniquity, the things that we do, the fact that He would bestow upon us forgiveness. There are those that right now think, oh, God, I'm getting by with it. And there's going to come a day when it says that He's not going to look the other way. Nor will His anger have anger forever. So there's going to be a time that He's going to judge, but that judgment is not going to last forever for His people. There will be a time that we are judged. I believe that's the judgment seat of Christ. It says he will not deal with us according to our sins. We know that by the grace of Jesus Christ, He doesn't punish us according to our iniquities. We know that. He goes on in 11, He says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. Stop and think. There's no way to measure that. That's why that phrase is in there. There's no way to measure how much love God has for those, the mercy towards those who fear Him. I think today, people don't fear God. I think that's why the world is where it's at, because so many people in the church just see grace as grace, see mercy as mercy, and don't see God as a God to fear. And the Bible tells us over and over and over that He's going to show mercy towards those who fear Him. He's going to, in the next verse, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. So two times in three verses, He tells us that there is a different attitude, a different relationship towards those who fear Him. And it comes down to this, all of that. He's grace and great in His mercy towards those who fear Him. He's going to cast as far as the east is from the west, and so far He has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. God knows that we're just dust. We forget that. We think we're better than that. Surely all the things that we're doing for God, He will reward us based on that. What we are blessed with, the blessings that God gives us, has nothing to do with us. It's all for His glory. Because He remembers, He knows our frame. He's the one that put us together. He remembers that we are dust. And so that mercy, that grace, that pity goes to those who acknowledge Him, and not just acknowledge Him, but fear Him. Because He knows without it, there's no way that He's going to be glorified. 15 says, as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. That phrase in those two verses is just talking about God remembers that we're dust, and man is just mortal. That's what those two verses are really saying. And without these benefits, without those five benefits, without the mercy, without the grace, without the pity, without the righteousness and the justice, without all of those things, man is just dust who's going to dry up and blow away and never be remembered. Sounds kind of sad. But then God intervenes. And in 17 it says, and we can put in there in our mind, I'm not trying to add to the scripture, but I think if I put in there in my mind that even though, between 16 and 17, even though man is this, the dust that's going to dry up and blow away, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Even though man is mortal, even though man is going to dry up and blow away, and the place where he was will remember him no more. Even though that's what man is, the mercy of the Lord is eternal. It's from everlasting to everlasting. The love of God, behind the mercy of God, is eternal to a dust ball. Don't ever forget that. That's how much he loves us. Let's finish that verse. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. The love and the mercy of an eternal God is given to that pile of dust, to that flower that dries and blows away, if while they're there, they fear him, they acknowledge him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do so. This kind of ties back to Abraham. And again, Abraham had faith, and that's where the covenant comes in. And this righteousness is given to the children's children, to those who kept his covenant. Well, there was actually no way in the Old Testament to completely keep the covenant. We know that. They could keep the covenant, but they couldn't keep the law part of the covenant. And so it's the understanding that they did with the best of their ability, because there were some that just didn't even try. But Abraham, even though he failed, even though he had problems, because of his faith in God, the covenant was kept through him and his commandments to do them. Now, nobody kept every commandment, but those that strive to do that is who he's talking about. So this eternal, everlasting love to those who fear him, the righteousness that he bestows on those that are following him and serving him and have faith in him, that's all given to the dust pile. 19, it says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. So let's tie back into where we're at in the whole chapter. David is saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Remember the blessings. Remember the benefits. Remember who God is and his graciousness and his mercy and his love. Remember who you are. But remember how long those benefits last, because God is eternal. And so he's told us as individuals to remember and to bless the Lord. And now he's bringing it out just a little bit more. And he takes and he says, and the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. God is not only God in heaven. A lot of people just think, oh, God's up there in heaven. He's watching over us. God has established his throne in heaven, but he is sovereign over everything. And now David's going to close this chapter by saying, bless the Lord, you his angels. So he's not just asking, he's not just praising God or blessing God himself with everything he has, but he's asking others to remember and others to bless the Lord. So he's trying to get more people to do it. Now he's even going to the point of saying, even the angels in heaven, you need to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, and do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. David is trying to get everybody, from angels down, to bless the Lord. 22 says, bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. And that's everywhere. New Testament says if we don't praise him, even the rocks will cry out. David is trying to get anybody and everybody out there to praise the Lord, to bless the Lord. And he finishes this chapter going back again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He goes back to personal. Starts off, he's blessing the Lord himself. Then he's trying to get others to bless the Lord. Then he's trying to get all of God's creation to bless him. And then it goes back to, I'm going to do it myself as well. And he closes with, bless the Lord, O my soul. Of all the things that God has done for us, and this list of five, I don't think is, it's not a complete list. But when we take our praise time that we do in here, that you do at home in your quiet time, when you do the time that you take to praise God, remember these five things. But remember, you woke up this morning. You're healthy enough to be here. You've got your eyesight. You've got your hearing. You've got your taste. You're able to walk. You're able to talk. You're able to communicate with other people. You're able to live in this town, in this country. Look at the things that we are blessed with on a daily basis. These things are major things, and we should never forget them. But the other things that we have been given, your job, your opportunity to retire, whatever it happens to be, that when you wake up in the morning, if you've got something to do, praise God for that. If you don't have anything to do, praise God for that. What we need to understand is that we need to be blessing God with everything we have. And if there's anything that could ever remind you of that anymore, look around and you'll find somebody that doesn't have it. There will be people out there that don't have what you have. I don't know why that is. I don't know why some people have stuff, some people don't. Why some people have the health and others do not. I don't know. But I know whatever we have, we are to praise Him for and be thankful for. Because He is the Lord. We don't praise Him because of those things. We praise Him because He sees to bestow whatever. If He gives us this, then we praise Him for that. If He doesn't give us this, then we praise Him for that. It's not about the things, don't get me wrong. It's about the fact that He is Lord, He is sovereign, and everything that He has created is created to bless Him and give Him honor. No matter what we see, no matter what we look around, that's what we're to do. Let's pray. God, we love You and we thank You. Lord, help us to have a heart of praise, a heart of thanksgiving. Lord, help us just to learn to love You more in all that we see, in all that You allow us to understand. You are Lord of all. You deserve honor and glory. You loved us enough to send Your Son to die on the cross for even us. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.